This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, thank you for staying tuned. I'm Wong Shaoning and this is The Morning Run with Roshan Kunnison. It has just gone past 7:17 in the morning, Thursday, the 26th of November. In about half an hour, we'll be speaking to Subang MP Wong Chen on the Budget 2021 vote, which is due to take place later today. But in the meantime, let's talk about Malaysia's aging society. Now, this year, Malaysia will meet the general definition of an aging society as more than 7% of the population will be aged 65 and above.
And according to a recent study from the World Bank on productive and inclusive aging, this could be a drag on economic growth. Their projections suggest that Malaysia's economy might only see growth of 1.8% in 2050, as opposed to the 4.5% we saw last year in 2019. Plus, it could be a strain on social protection systems, something we've talked about before, as many older Malaysians do not have enough for retirement. So this is some of the key things to keep in mind, right, as we see an aging society become more prevalent in our society.
Yeah, so for more on this and what does this mean for the economy, we speak to Lawrence Todd, Director of Research at the Institute of Democracy and Economic Affairs, otherwise known as IDEAS. Now, thanks for joining us on the show, Lawrence. Having an aging population could, of course, lead to slower economic growth. That's not surprising since it tends to mean a smaller working age population as well. So how do countries address this problem, though?
Well, I mean, it's a challenge that many countries are facing. It's been a long-standing challenge in Europe and Japan in particular that have seen these demographic shifts to a much older population. So, I mean, the first most single broadest policy, of course, is increasing the retirement age. So in the UK, the retirement age is set to increase to 67 by 2028. So it's quite a significant increase over the last few years for the retirement age. But there's actually a range of other policies and broader tools to try to ensure that the economy is more geared towards the older generation. So something that maybe doesn't get thought about so much is actually accessibility. So that means both for the workplace, but also for, you know, consumption, so shops and so on, making sure they're accessible for people who are movement impaired or have other types of disabilities, which can often be associated with age, making sure there's sufficient parking and so on, and thinking about ways to ensure that workplaces and retail areas are accessible is also important. And I think the other area that different countries are sort of managing in different ways is something more cultural. It's trying to change cultural expectations about the productivity and capabilities of the older generation, both, you know, in the workplace. And then also to try to gear the consumer economy more towards old people. There's been some studies about how older people feel very underrepresented, say, in advertising, which tends to focus on much younger people, say, if you look at the fashion industry and so on. And so how do we create parts of the economy that are more, you know, openly and explicitly tailored to the older generation? So there's sort of a range of different challenges and ways that countries are trying to address this, through from hard policies like the retirement age, through to much sort of broader, softer cultural trends, like, you know, how do we ensure that the economy is equipped to serve and provide opportunities for the older generation?
And you mentioned something which is the opportunities, right? So what kind of incentives could we be introducing to encourage actually firms to continue to hire, train and invest in older employees?
Well, I think on the one hand, we can talk about specific financial incentives. And I think that's something that some countries have looked at, you know, essentially in the form of targeted wage subsidies. I think the other areas are in terms of ensuring that older people have opportunities for constant whole life education to ensure that they can maintain their skills relevant to the workplace. And then we more broadly transition to a kind of work culture which enables that. If people are going to be working for 50 years, then we definitely are going to need to have a cultural norm which enables people to pick up different skills halfway through their career, maybe take some time off. So increasingly, I think businesses are going to have to adapt to that and allow for people to be upskilling, reskilling, retraining throughout their career. And as we do that, we can transition to an environment where it's totally acceptable to have, and even desirable to have, people over 50, over 60, even in the workplace, because they will have developed a relevant skill set for that specific job. So I think skills is very important. And then I think the other area is coming back to what I was saying earlier about just the kind of cultural perceptions and shifting the expectations around the contribution that the older generation can make in the workplace. Now, how you achieve that in terms of policy is quite difficult, but I think what you need to see is certain companies kind of just driving at the frontier and demonstrating the values that the older generation can give, and then that sets the tone for the wider industry.
Now, I want to shift the conversation towards social protection, because the World Bank, I mean, they highlighted that only about 60% of working Malaysians actively contribute their monthly income to EPF. Now, not long ago, the Malaysian Finance Minister also stated that roughly 1 in 3 EPF contributors have sadly less than 5,000 ringgit in account one. So this somewhat reflects the social fabric in Malaysia, where I think many of us rely on family support in our old age. But do we have any idea how much Malaysians lean on these informal means of support in retirement?
Well, I think as you demonstrated there, the vast majority of or certainly the majority of Malaysians are just not in a position to have financial independence in their retirement. I think probably I've also seen analysis by EPF themselves that I think point to maybe 5 in 100 Malaysians that can afford essentially to retire independently. So in that case, you know, we know that there are most members of the older generation are leaning on informal and family support. Also, because we don't have in Malaysia a substantially developed care system. I mean, it is there and it is growing, but it's not as advanced as it might be in some other countries, for example. So, the extent to which the older generation do rely on the family structure is very high, and I think the risk is we get a slight chicken and egg, because that exists, it creates maybe less pressure to fundamentally reform the way our social protection system works, particularly for the older generation. And really, I think what EPF is trying to do is it's trying to raise this challenge that, hang on a minute, you know, this doesn't add up. People are getting older, they're getting health problems later in life, but they just do not have the financial means to support that. And so even if right now the families can bear some of that burden, this problem is growing. So as the ratio of the old age population to the working age population shifts in favor of the old age population, then those informal mechanisms of support are no longer going to be able to sustain the number of old people and the challenges they're going to face. So I think that even if that is the norm now and people's expectation now, it's about setting the expectation that's going to need to shift in the future.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Lawrence Todd of Ideas, giving us the implications of having an aging population. And I think his last point is that, yeah, you know, maybe we really do need to have a relook at our social protection mechanism for aging population. Clearly, not enough people contribute to EPF in the first place. And even when they do and when they retire, there's not enough money for them, you know, to sustain their lives. Because the reality is that we Malaysians are living much, much longer than we used to. So we need to prepare for this, but are we being adequately prepared?
Yeah, I mean, Lawrence makes a lot of good points there. And I mean, you just mentioned the social protection and the retirement question there, but also there is the whole thing around the silver economy, right? How can we change expectations around what we think about when it comes to expectations of productivity from older workers, but also can we change the culture around whole life education, right? Continuing to learn as you grow older and maintaining the relevant skills to maintain attractive in the job market. We've actually got a poll running on Twitter right now. In light of the aging population, should Malaysia consider raising the minimum minimum retirement age, which is something Lawrence brought up as well. With about 100 votes in right now, it's only 31% say yes, and two-thirds, or almost two-thirds, say no. 62% saying no, 7% saying not sure. So a lot of people are not in favor of of increasing the retirement age here.
Yeah, I'm one of those, I suppose, when I think about it. But the reality is that the cost of living pressures are really high, and some of us don't have enough money for retirement. I also wonder, and this is just me being my personal thoughts about keeping myself active, my mind active beyond the retirement age. Because unless perhaps you have a hobby or, you know, a purpose that is very defined, I also worry about what will I do, and I want to be useful. So for me, retirement is, I guess 100% of a retirement is not an option. So I would like to think that employees are thinking about this. How can we use the skill sets and the experience of this workforce, right, to my benefit? And also in a win-win situation where I'm still working, but perhaps not at 100% as I used to be. So I think companies, the government needs to think about this more strategically. And aside from the social protection issues, but for sure, Malaysia, as it stands, we don't have, what worries me is we don't currently have a substantial care system. And it's something that we do need to think about as, you know, the population, the aging population percentage does increase. But up next, we'll be speaking to Gabo Gobex, Director of Digital Asset Strategy at VanEck, on the recent Bitcoin rally that's happening after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.